It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the end of the week edition, we will say, instead of Thursday edition of Blues NHL podcast, your St. Louis Blues fan podcast. Hosted by your off-ice official, Jim Cromer here. Let me welcome in the one, the only. No intro music needed for him as he's in studio today, Mr. Jamie Rivers.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's been a bit of a chore here to get us in studio. That freaking Kimball, he's on the Mariah Carey schedule, or what, Roger Clemens, when he only works, you know, certain games. They got to be home games. It can't be this weather, that temperature. He's got to have this right amount of clothing on. Freaking Kimball.
Oh, wait a minute. He's spending some time with his daughter today, right? His only day off, and he's taking
care of his daughter. Is that what he told you?
That's what he told me. I don't know. That's what he told. Well, I don't know why he lied to me. I'm not the boss. You're the boss.
I'm not the boss. And trust me, I've been told several times you're not the boss of anything.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm excited about the show today. We're going to try to reach Mr. Kimball by phone, if at all possible. So we got that going for us. But you know what? We've had some iconic shows on here now in our time together. You have put together some great rants, some Jamie's Piss segments. Yeah, the last 2 weeks, some of your clips that we played are legendary. You've gotten a lot of props from fans. I got to say, though, I think it's probably pretty safe to say that our best show we ever did was from Minn Arena when Tony showed up, right? Tony Twist?
Oh, the
that would be our
show.
Number one.
Yeah. Well, that was a show?
Well,
or
it was
a side
a shit show.
Side show.
Now, in the realm of guests, though, that make a show, today we're going to rival that. We've
got
a guy.
Under the umbrella of shit show, by the way.
Now, I will, yes, we have joining us in studio, a lifelong Blues fan like me, a suffering Blues fan he is like me, right?
I'm suffering, I tell you.
Suffering.
He's just suffering, period.
I can't take
let
it
me
anymore.
Tell you, is the Ocho man himself, John Kabengian. What's going on, Chief?
Oh, hi, man.
Johnny! Hey. You know what? I want to be a part of this show for a while, too. You guys are just great. I love listening to this shit.
But we had to wait till your probation was over.
Yeah. But I'm back.
There we go.
I'm
free.
Now, a lot of people, I do have a lot of the Granite City crew that listens to this that also follows the Ocho Man. And I've been fired from the Ocho Man like 8 times.
Well, you were fucking boring. What can I tell
okay.
you?
So, but now, and so every time he comes in to
is
do
that
this.
Is that all we got to do is fire him?
That's all you got to do.
Jesus.
Okay. You're not welcome.
No, I'm not sure. Boring. He doesn't like how I'll call him out sometimes because he's got to be the head guy, right? This is everybody. Listen.
Well, he's the Ocho Man.
And, that's right. And everybody knows him, right? So,
Jamie, I mean, there's nothing to it, though. I mean, the guy never just jumps in like he's supposed to.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened. Okay. I'll let you. Okay.
You got to coach
anyway,
him.
So he sits across from me and he loves the Blues. I've known this guy.
And I'm on testosterone shit now, too, by
this
the
guy,
way.
This guy, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've been taking an injection in the air. Every week.
Hey, your poor right hand has got to be.
He's had the 51-year-old Blues. Yeah. He had the 51-year-old Blues and went and got some testosterone. Now this is a new guy over here. It's been amazing.
I'm telling you, man.
Now,
I'm knocking over furniture.
We were back there, right?
And, yeah.
You know, we're talking about testosterone. We're talking about his poor right hand here. Now, Cromes, come here. Let me give me your right hand for a second.
No. I'm not giving my right hand to you for nothing.
Just turn it over. Let me look at it. You see, I was right.
Yep. You were right, Jamie.
We were over by Cromer's desk, and we found like one of those Costco-sized Jergens on his desk.
Hey,
like
we were
a whole
wondering,
family-sized
who the hell brings a family-sized Jergens to the office?
Yeah, what's that all about?
I just have really dry skin.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
Apparently not in some places now.
Well, in a perfect segue on testosterone,
yeah.
Do our boys on the ice need some testosterone, Jamie?
Oh, man, I feel bad right now, honestly. I really do. I mean, things were going bad to start with, and now they got injuries, and, you know, they've had to fire a coach, and now they got young kids in. They've got journeymen that they've called up to jump in and play. Like, you talk about a perfect storm. Well, this is a perfect storm in reverse where they can't get the hell out from under it, and it really sucks right now, and it's not getting any easier. Like, shit, they got to play the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
I mean,
you know, like, God damn it. I mean,
you know, so Jono, my man Jono here, I've met him. I met him in high school, 14 years old. He was one of the first guys I met. I was kind of, I wasn't from Granite at the time. I lived down in Matt. It's a long story, but he, you know, I became friends with him right away, and he's loved hockey since day one. And we talk all the time. And he's a suffering fan like I am, like they, like family, right? Like you get pissed, you get mad. I'm not watching, but then the next time there's a game, he comes in and we start talking about it, right? So he's a...
Well, who named the goddamn team the Blues anyway?
I mean, you know what? That
I mean,
is
just
a
think
curious
about
choice
that
now.
Shit right there, you know? I mean, you name a team after someone that's fucking in sorrow in music. Well, I mean, for God's sake, think about it.
Well... I got to ask you this.
I actually have never thought about it. So you just said think about it? I just did now, and I think
you're
right.
Come on, man.
His head just exploded.
I just, yeah.
So
I just shit myself.
But, Jono, let me ask you this question. You and I have talked about this for going on 30 years, right? Seriously, about the Blues, right? And we've had heartache. We've had teams that were one president didn't do anything. We did this. We did. We didn't. We lost Brett Hull, and that pissed. We got Gretzky. This, all the things you and I talked about.
I got pissed whenever they got rid of Brett.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. You and I both, before the season, talked about how good they looked like they were going to be. Have you ever seen any? Does this trump every? I hate to use that word. Does
careful
this,
of that one.
Yeah. Does that? Does this trump everything? How good they were supposed to be, and it isn't like they're just not playing well. They're in last place.
Bro, they've always done something like this. They've always just jumped out ahead.
Hey, easy. You can't say they've always. Like, fuck,
I mean,
I
no,
played
here. We go, here we go.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you got played here. No respect, I tell you.
Fucking hot stoving it at my expense right now.
Even when his era, they'd always jump out, and they'd be like on cats. I mean, they were cat's ass. And then suddenly... someone just took the wheels right out of them. I mean, it always had. I'm telling you, we're cursed. We're cursed here.
Do you get that feeling, Jamie? I know you hate that. And you've addressed the whole curse thing once or twice, but are you, like, how do you go through this stuff and not feel that? Like,
well, I look at it a lot of ways, right? Yes. No, I don't think we're cursed. But
you're cursed.
You look at how long did the Red Sox go, right? The curse of the Bambino.
Let's not go that far.
No, no. Wait, but let's just go there for a second.
Yeah.
What, 80 years or something? 84?
So we got to wait fucking 80 years?
No.
It's already 50-something.
Yeah, we're already 50 in, so there's not much left.
You're going to be in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank, Gene.
I won't even know what's going on.
You might be there next week, though.
Blues, who's that?
But what I'm saying is, you know, obviously there are other organizations that have had some heartache. Now, we're passionate about the Blues, and we've been here an awful long time, and 50 years now, this is – it's getting to the point where we got to have a winner here, or at least, you know, something to show for it. And I feel bad. You know, I really desperately wanted to be part of a team that won the championship here. We all talk about the goddamn park or the parade down Market Street, and we haven't been able to do that. How do you think fucking Bobby Plager feels?
Oh, gosh.
Right? The guy was here from, what, day one with the St. Louis Blues, and he's still here 50 years later, and he's never had the chance to – hold that cup, walk down or parade down Market, sip champagne out of it, you know?
I mean, starting off the first year with the Blues franchise, I mean, oh, well, fuck, we're in the championship.
Well, yeah, but they kind of made it easy for them, which I don't want to take anything away from the Blues, but what was the rule? One expansion team automatically made it to the
that was
Stanley
the deal.
Cup?
Yeah.
Because of the way
Can we bring that back? What are you going to throw us in with the expansion?
Well, I think apparently Vegas thought that was the rule last year.
Yeah,
no shit.
Look at them, man.
Hey,
Jesus.
I got a surprise for both you boys. You ready for this one?
Here we go.
Are you ready for this one?
Is she walking in?
She might be here any minute.
Mark Jergens.
Hey, speaking of she, I've got that surprise for you right here on the celebrity line instead of our own celebrity in his own mind, Jamie Rivers. Let's bring in the other real celebrity, Darren Kimball. What's going on, buddy?
I tell you what, boys, they said I can't walk and chew gum, but I'm doing it today because I'm all over the place right now.
He's
what,
good.
You hear that familiar voice you hear is I brought your buddy in here, your Dallas Cowboy buddy. For
how
the
about
show.
Them Cowboys? Yeah,
your boy John's filling your seat cowboys? Over here. He's filling your seat.
Yeah, I know. That's good, though. That's good. A little cowboy never hurt nobody.
A little. Oh,
and well, I can't wait to have you on my show, too, man. We'll yeah. talk some.
Yeah, I know.
Cowboy never hurt anybody. A little cowgirl is hurt every now and then, though.
I think we got five rings there, Jamie.
Hey, Kimmy.
Sorry, I thought we were PG for a second there.
Yeah, that's the day you'll be PG.
Kimmy, I know we don't have you. Kimmy, I know we don't have you very long, and we've beat this dead horse like it's going out of style, so we're looking at some different topics when it comes to our Blues. Jono, being the suffering fan as he is, has asked Jamie if he thought the Blues were cursed, and that is a hot topic among fans on social media. Jamie takes always a pragmatic approach as a player and is like, hey, listen, you know, we're asking you the same question. Are they cursed?
No, they're not. They're not cursed. It's just, you know what? It's hard to fuck, they go out and play a good game the other day, and then they lose in the overtime thing. But it's frustrating. I'll be curious what they do tonight. Do they go missing again tonight, or do they come out and play? If they could get some consistency, I think they start rolling in the right direction here. But fuck, consistency is so fucking few and far between with these guys.
I can't help but, like, you know, I look at Jamie sitting next to me when you're here. You guys wore the uniform. You were in the locker room. You both played on some talented teams here that, you know, for whatever reason, didn't win a Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah, but it's so hard to do, right? They've been bashing us, Kimby. They've been fucking rubbing it in my face, and we couldn't deliver either, by the way.
But the thing is, you realize real quick how hard it really is to do. But we've had some really good teams that you would think, why does it continue to elude us? This is, like I asked Jono, and I'll ask you, Darren, and I'll get Jamie's thoughts on this too. This is like nothing I've ever felt before. It was one thing to have a good team that kind of struggled or had an injury down the stretch. It was another thing to have a team go through a rebuilding year. I can't ever remember having a Blues team with talent like this sitting in last place, especially in a salary cap era.
Hold on, though. Like, let's rewind that just a little bit. I was good with you going earlier in the back of the years. There was really star-studded teams over here that didn't win the Cup. I'll give you that, and why that happened, I have no answer to that question, because, you know, it's the hardest trophy to win in the world. I don't care what anyone says. It's the hardest trophy to win. But if we're going to talk current Blues right now, I don't think you're star-studded here now. I just don't see that.
That's what I was thinking.
And I'm going to – I think they're fighting away. Where I was going to try to go with, guys, if you look with the Edmonton Oilers, so they come in here. On one of the goals, the best player – the second best player in the world – he doesn't cover his man, which we've been blaming Petro for many times. He doesn't cover his man. We score a goal. And the thing that's going on right now is, though, we make so many fucking mistakes, and they're getting capitalized on now. So it's like they're stepping on your throat every time they can right now because you're vulnerable. People are making mistakes. The puck's going in the net all the time. I was listening to the Hockey Network. I think it was Brian Lawton might even been saying, when you're winning games, those mistakes don't go in your net. When you're losing games, they seem to always find a way into their net. And that's what the Blues are going. But let's slow down on the talent-wise here. I've said this from day one when they've been going here. I thought we were good enough to make the playoffs. Yes, I did. But I don't think the makeup of this team is going to get you anywhere right now. I think they're missing some – and I'm not saying, like, you got O'Reilly, which is great, Tarasenko, which is great. You got that kind of elite. But you don't got no one to fill in the gaps here, guys. And I thought this defense – was going to be a hell of a lot better than it is right now, and I'm not seeing it from them either. So I think you got a lot of holes.
We got a lot of holes, Kimby, but here's the one thing, though, that I think Kromes is trying to get to, and of course he can never fucking get to it, but here's what I think he's trying to get to is that we got Bozak on a big deal, we got Perron on a big deal, O'Reilly's obviously on a big deal, Tarasenko's on a big deal, Shen will be on a big deal, Schwartz will be on a big deal. Like, these are guys in our lineup that maybe not like by production standard, but when you look at the salary standard of it, they're supposed to be star players. And I think that's what they're alluding to, is that we have this cast of guys or a cast of characters to start the season, and we're like, holy shit, on paper, like, we're 40 grand under the cap. So we should be a team that's performing that way, but it seems like we're not, and that's why these guys get carried away on the fucking curse thing and things like that.
Well, I should have said cap name, superstars.
Hold on a sec, though, guys. So I go with Riz, what he's saying. You got these guys that are like at five. look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. So when I look at star-studded, that's where I'm going with this thing, because you look at the guys they're carrying. We're not carrying that kind. We don't got a Matthews. We don't got these guys sitting here, Ribs. And the guy like Bozak, for example, what the fuck are we paying him? When they called him out last night for the shootout, I almost said, Brew Chief, are you all right? Because he hasn't been scoring. I said, but maybe this was a way that he was going to get him scoring with his confidence. I don't know that answer. It worked out fine. But fuck it. If I'm looking down the bench, that would have been the last guy that I was calling at that point. I might have called Bortuzzo's name before I called him.
Oh, boy.
He's supposed to be scoring goals. And our guys seem to struggle, and all our guys are going on. O'Reilly's carrying the whole goddamn mail right now, and he needs some help, and he's just not getting it. He's just not getting it.
You're right. Listen, we only have you for a short period of time, so I'm going to just skip over the rest of the Blue stuff because it's just kind of redundant over and over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing I want to pick your brain on, and with these guys here, is the obviously Tom Wilson all year has been a hot button for everybody. And then we got our buddy Ryan Reeves, who clocks him the other night and, drops him, knocks his bucket off, bangs his head.
Not once, about three times.
Well, he did it several times, but the big one, that he got thrown out of the game for, certainly everybody's highlighting that. What's your take on that, Kimby? Let's hear what you think.
Well, I put it out there, Riz, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and that's what I said it on Twitter. And if people, and I call him Batman, and that's Mr. Batman, but I call him Batman all the time, but if Batman would get the fuck out of the way, shit sort of takes care of itself. And that's why I said Wilson's going to run around, and back in the old days, someone might run around, but you're going to fucking get it eventually. And the biggest guy in the block right now, it was his Revo, he's the one that's the biggest boy. Well, he took care of it. So, maybe Wilson sits there and thinks now that his fucking head's ringing. Maybe he says, well, maybe I can't be a fucking idiot to everybody. Maybe I can only go so far because someone's going to clock me. And that's how he always took care of it back in the day. And, you go out there and last night, for example, Ribs, and you might have been watching it because your favorite player in the world is on the Calgary team. But the Dumba kid goes out and the Dumba kid clocks the Calgary guy. And, I still think it's a good hit. He might have left his feet a little bit, but I don't know. But at least the Calgary guy come back and responded to the thing.
Jesus, did he ever. They had the fucking goalie pulled, and he skated straight out the guy and fought him. Holy crap.
Yeah, so, and I got all, you know what? You're playing in the National Hockey League. You're playing the fucking fastest game in the world right now. Back in the day, and I keep saying back then, but you had to keep your fucking head up. And the game has got a lot faster, a lot quicker. There still are guys that are going to take your head off, are going to go for the big hit. So get your fucking head up. If you put your player in a bad situation with a pass or something, Riz, back in the day, if you would have did that to anybody, they would have come back and said, what the fuck are you doing? And, because you took care of one another. So maybe the league needs to take – the players need to start getting a little camaraderie and taking care of each other again, not putting players in bad situations. But if you want to go through the fucking middle of the ice with your head down, shame on you, man. That's on you.
I agree.
This game has body contact. And if you're just going to hit a guy, if it's dirty hits, suspend them, whatever you got to do. But the Revo hit wasn't dirty. It was close to the thing. Wilson gets caught with his head looking the wrong way. So, Shane, that was on him. So he's done it to many. I think it was very fitting that the Revo did it because what Wilson did to their star player in the playoffs last year sort of goes around, comes around. You know what I mean? So it worked out kind of fine and you look at it now.
Okay, now here's the biggest question, and this is what always, and you've heard me say it a million times, and so is Cromer, and what and probably everybody listening to is, how do you, at that point of the game, if you're Tom Wilson, you've already had a couple of run-ins with Revo, and you've ended up on your ass, but now you're on the ice with him again, and how the fuck do you turn and watch your pass, knowing full well that Revo's out there? Like, what is he thinking on that fucking play, Kimby?
Yeah, this is what Darren Kimball would have done, and I would have gone, if Reeves would have hit me a couple times, I would have said, okay, you're done fucking with me now, and you're done making me look like an idiot on the ice here, and I would have just went to him and I said, okay, let's get this shit over with. Whether I win or lose, whatever happens, I'm going to go stand up for myself. And I think Wilson probably would have been that better off venturing in that direction instead of fucking, because he probably got, if he would have went and did that, Ribs, he couldn't be laying on the damn ice and in a getting his head clunked on the ice. So if he would have went and stood up for himself, because he's got to stand up for other people.
Well, and it's not like he's not able to. He's Tom Wilson.
Yeah,
he's pretty
exactly.
tough. Like, it's not like he's going to get his
yeah.
ass handed to him completely.
Yeah, anybody that thinks Reeves is just going to beat him into submission is crazy. Tom Wilson's tough.
Yeah, well, so when he laughed at him the first time, the next shift, Wilson, even if he wasn't on the ice, he should have jumped the fuck over the boards and went after the motherfucker.
He's got to respond,
that's what he should have
for
done.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I liked your response. I liked your response. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, but here's my issue with it, okay?
Yeah, and I know where you're going, and that's
what
I was going to
ask. Here's my issue, and this is, I threw this out there, and everybody can chime in on this one here because I want multiple participation, is if that's not...
that's how you usually are, buddy.
I usually like a group thing, but if that's not Tom Wilson, okay? If it's not Tom Wilson, are we still saying what's good for the goose is good for... No, we're not. We're saying, holy fuck, that's suspendable. Ryan Reeves picking on these players. Like, everything we've said, not us personally, but the media and other Twitter tough guys and all that shit have said about, these poor players and Tom. But now that it's Wilson, I didn't hear the world and nobody crying foul. I didn't hear anybody saying, poor Tom Wilson. I didn't hear anybody say, oh, boy, concussions. I didn't hear that shit, Kimby. Why?
No.
Tell me why.
Well, because, no, it's not, you know why, because the fucking guy's done it to so many other people.
I know, but is that right?
The media and Batman have fucking created a monster out of Mr. Wilson for going and playing the game or whatever he did. You can't tell me there was any difference the way he hit the Blues player as the way he got hit. So there was no difference whatsoever. And so the media trumps this guy up, makes him look like a fucking, the biggest, baddest guy in the world, which, you know, all he did was go out and throw a fucking hit on a guy that had his head down. So then what comes back to him, obviously, they said they lessened the suspension. The fucking guy was gone for a period of end up getting 16 games or what was it? Something like that.
I think it was 16.
So, you know, but it's just, so now it's almost like Batman sits back in his chair and these guys go, well, we got him. We got him that way. So, of course, we're not going to suspend the fucker because we've been trying to get him. We're trying to kick him out of the goddamn league like every other guy we've tried to kick out. So at least we got him this way. And so they think old school for one sec, Rivs, but then they'll fucking rewind again and say, okay, now we got to start going after these guys again, right?
Yeah.
I like to ask you guys, has the NHL tried to do away with the fighting? I mean, I'm being broad about this, but from what I'm gathering from you guys right now, has it went down a lot, or what the fuck's going on here?
You can tell he don't listen to the show.
Jesus Christ.
Because you know what? Hey,
did you come out of a time war or something?
I like the fighting. I like seeing that. It was like old times. Yeah, when you guys came out there.
Just what you said, though, and there's a key fucking word in what you said. When you said, I'm trying to be broad, I've seen fucking more broads fighting the bar than they're fighting now in the National Hockey League. So,
man,
you know,
Kimby's
so
rolling today.
Yeah. You know, that's where it's at. But no, of course, the Cowboys haven't been that fucking good for that long, so you should be paying attention to some of this hockey shit.
I try. But I like to see the fighting, man. That's part of the game.
Its way out, buddy, unfortunately.
You look at all sports. And so, because you're on here and you follow the Cowboys all the time, and they've sissied that fucking league up to, to who knows what that is.
You
can't even touch the quarterback, you know.
Right.
So you think what they're doing to the quarterback in the National Football League, that's what they did to the tough guys in the NHL. But the only thing the NHL did, they got rid of them. So they had the owners to buy into the shit, and they chased them out the door. And that was because of Mr. Bettman. And then, you know, look at the NFL. You can't even touch your quarterback anymore. A receiver going across, he certainly can't be hit.
He's safe.
So,
now.
You know, the game's dummied right down for – and all sports is going that way, you know.
Now, here, Kimby, here's
sure
the question.
Can even tell a story about baseball.
Oh, fuck. We don't want to tell you. We're trying to let – that's why we brought in the Ocho Man. We're trying to weed Cromer out of here.
It's going
to
be the Ocho Man Blues NHL podcast hour.
I caught Cromer with soft music and a bottle of Jergens earlier.
He'll have his Lord. John will have his John will have the ladies
Cromer's
in here later.
Cromer's favorite saying now is the old 5-on-1, Riv. So just tell him that he'll run in the corner. He'll be all right.
Oh, God. He's asking for that earlier. I didn't know what the fuck he meant. But anyway, Kimby, the biggest question I got for you regarding the Wilson and Reeves thing, and now we have to admire the quote just for a second on its own. He says, what if you're what did he say? He ran into the lion Or he ran into a lion in the jungle, that day. And I respect that. I mean, if you're the biggest, baddest man right now in the NHL, or at least if you think you are, you can say shit like that. But the biggest question I have for you, Kimby, is if you think the NHL, after the Tom Wilson hit on Sundquist, if you think they would have just let that be, do you think Tom Wilson would have had this payback coming to him earlier than it's taken to get there now?
No, because I think the payback would have been, I think what Reeves would have did this to him regardless of who he is. Don't you think that's true?
Well, I think he targets him a little more because it's just like back in the day when you would go after Proby, went like, it's the fucking big boys are here. We got to mix it up, you know?
You're right. And so I agree with Reeves was going to go after, but someone was going to, in the old days too, though, like, you know, you had Samuelson that ran around and you had some guys that ran around. People would always find their way to get them, Rivs. You know, there was always guys on the team that were going to that took care of the league, and we always went and took care of our own shit. And if someone got way out of hand, like Samuelson would do it, you know, and he would keep going on and on and on. But fuck, he paid a price for it eventually because
he ate a lot of knuckles. Yeah. That's for fucking sure.
Claude Lemieux was the same way. You know, they caused a lot of shit. That's how they survived, and they were good hockey players. You know, they won Stanley Cups. They did everything. They paid one fuck of a price for it, though, I'll tell you that.
Hey, I want to ask you, Darren, something that fans really seem to love, and you see them all the time on social media sites and things like that. Some of the times when you can hear the players talking to one another on the ice, and they say sometimes it's very comical things. Like, I know there's some legendary things of guys skating up going, you want to go? And the other, I think it was LaRocque did that to a guy. Hey, you want to go? And a guy goes, yep. And he goes, good luck. And you know, they went. But my point was, when you said cool stuff like that, people in this situation, if you were playing today or even back then, if it was Tom Wilson, would you have skated up to him and said, you're not going to pull this shit on our guys tonight? This isn't going down tonight, or we can just get this out of the way. Is that how you'd handle it, or
were
you to let it play out?
Before you answer that, Kimby, before you answer that, and I know you'll answer it honestly because that's the only thing you know how to do, is I'm going to predict what Kimby's going to say here. And I'm going to predict that if Kimby's Tom Wilson, right? If he's Tom Wilson and Ryan Reeves is playing against him, and he knows because of the bullshit that's gone on, little chirpy chirps last year in the Stanley Cup final, I'm going to predict that Darren Kimball skates over to him first shift and says, let's fucking get her going here. Let's get it out of the way.
Yep.
Kimby, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I even close?
You're real close. And the only difference would have been I would have been by the red line in warm-up and I would have went over and got close to it and says, you're fucking dead. And that's where we're coming at. So whether I win or not, but I would have said, we're going to get it's coming. You know, back in the day when we'd have the Blues and the Blackhawks, you patrol that red line. Stu Grimson and these guys were there. You know, fucking, they'd be coming by. You'd be sticking guys through warm-up. They almost, you'd almost get suspended out of fucking warm-up, man. But
hey, I remember being dressed, Kimby. I remember being dressed specifically to skate back and forth across the red line, not because I was tough, because they fucking wanted to goat the other team. Someone had two-hand me in the back of the legs.
That was the bait.
I was the bait. That's what I was.
He was the lure.
I was like, holy shit.
Did you ever have one of those go down, Kimby, at center ice, a good one that you can remember for our listeners? Because they're wanting story time right now.
Yeah, no, when we did it, the closest we got, we were playing Chicago, and they'd come back to St. Louis, and Grimson and them we were out there. Me and Chaser were there, and we were going across. And Chaser, you know, he can talk a storm up with anybody. And so we had Stewie spinning in marbles there, and he was getting mad. But it never got to a fight, though. We never – in junior hockey we did. Juniors we had line brawls and stuff like that. But I never in the NHL did I ever have a line – I had a line brawl, but I never had a bench-clearing brawl there. But I did – but that stuff would go – you know, back in the day – back in junior hockey, when we were growing up, me and when Twister and all these guys were playing out in the Western League, I don't know if they did it in the old.
Talk about the fucking Western League.
The only thing I'm saying is, Rivs, though, when I was playing there, they took us and we had to do our own warm up. So teams would go on separate times for warm up because they wouldn't. Because we were fighting too much and brawls were starting. So they had to separate us and put us on our own warm ups. I don't know. Did they do that in the O?
Yeah. Well, what happened was they went to that, like, probably my second year in the OHL, they went to the split warm-ups. But my first ever OHL game, this is a quick story, and I won't bore you with it, Kimby, but we're playing against Peterborough, and I'm just I may have just turned 16 years old. I'm all of 143 pounds, soaking wet, probably most of it the hair I had going. But We're skating around in warm-up, and we had a player called Terry Chitteroni. And this guy was a poor man's version of Wendell Clark. He could score goals. He'd fight anybody, throw left and right, like punch in the face contest with anybody. Well, he had lost a fight the year before. You know, I don't know what's going on. I'm just a kid. Well, he comes out, takes one lap, grabs a puck, and there's a guy stretching at center ice from the other team. He comes up from the fucking goal line full speed and takes a slap shot at this guy and hits him right in the rib cage. Well, holy shit, here we go, right? Both teams are going. There's not a referee in sight. They're probably not even at the fucking building yet. And we're going in a brawl. I'm looking around. Chris Pronger is actually playing for Peterborough at the time, and I end up fighting Donnie O'Neill, who's Jeff O'Neill, who's a TSN, played in the NHL for a long time. His brother, Donnie O'Neill. Yep. And I was like, Jesus Christ, is this going to be like this every night? And it kind of was. I mean, you had something going on. And then the referees in the OHL, they brought the refs onto the ice. And then they split the warm-ups. Because even the refs being on the ice didn't stop a lot of the bullshit.
Hey, Kimby, I got to ask you, in all the times you've had, at the NHL level especially, was the St. Patrick's Day Massacre, was that the biggest online? Yeah. Was that the biggest brawl you were in part of?
I had one when I was in Quebec with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh didn't have anyone tough, but they went after Joey Sakic, and me and my old buddy Bird Dog, who he passed away a year ago, but me and Bird Dog were on the ice at the time, and that didn't, Miss Cunnyworth and a few of the boys, it didn't work out very good for him in that situation. I actually was beating one guy up. I think Kevin, the Dineen boy, I think it was Kevin Dineen, Gordon Dineen. Gordon Dineen was playing. Yeah. He's a defenseman. Yeah, and I think I headbutted him in the nose, and I was the Pittsburgh bench was ready. They're swinging their sticks at me, and it was just a shit show going on. But it was the best. I'll tell you the best story, and this is why they had to go to their own ice back in the day, because when I played in Swift Current for the Indians under Patty Janelle, Patty was a big, he liked all the tough guys and that. So we went out in Lloyd Minster. We went out for warm-up, and we went on the ice first. And Bobby, we used to call him Bobby the Brain Heenan. And it was Bobby Heenan was his name, but Bobby the Brain, we'd call him. And he was a tough son of a gun from Manitoba. And he went down and grabbed the other team's net, brought it into our zone, and Lloyd Minister was so fucking scared, they wouldn't even come and ask for the net. We warmed both our goaltenders up, but we were doing the horseshoe with both our goalies. And they were sitting down there skating around. They didn't have no net. So all of a sudden the officials come down and said, could you give them their net back, please?
That is a great story.
We had to give them their net back.
That's almost as good as Swift Current. What a name. That is awesome.
He throws out Swift Current Indians.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I got to ask you guys, the Blackhawks or the Detroit Red Wings? I hated the Detroit Red Wings. Whenever I watched the hockey, I mean, I know the whole rivalry, like the Cowboy Redskin, but mine was, you guys always say Blackhawk Blues, but mine was the Detroit. You don't have any idea
what a great question you asked, because Jamie played for Detroit and Kimby played for the Blackhawks.
That's right. Yeah.
I couldn't stand the Red Wings, man.
But Kimby, what was your worst one?
No, you know what though? If you the thing is, Riz, and we've talked about this on the there's no feuding anymore. There's no rivalries. No. You know, they play the Wednesday night rivalries, and they always show us old guys fighting on there because that's the rivalry it was. But back in the day when it was the Norris Division, you know, you had Minnesota, which had Basil and Churla were there. You had Grimson and Peluso in Chicago, Probert, Kosher in Detroit, Meade, Twister, Chaser, and all these guys were down here in St. Louis. It was just. And then you go out to the Adams Division. You got Boston, Buffalo, Montreal, and all this stuff going on. And you play them eight times a year. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't for the faint of heart, because there were some guys I know for a fact that probably sat in that room and shit themselves when they were going to get ready to go play a game, because the intense rivalry was heated. And you fought for everything you got. You were there for a reason. And it was just that's when the fans the. And I say the true fans, I know everyone's the true, but the guys that are making the 40-hour-a-week guy that's giving every goddamn thing he's got to watch a hockey team, and I believe that's when Rivs, last week got really excited and was talking about the Blues. That's what the fucking fans want out of these teams nowadays, but there's got to be a passion, and it's almost like there's not a passion anymore. But that back in the day, boy, there were some guys that were scared to go out on the ice. There really was.
You're not wrong. I mean,
Every team had a prick. I mean,
every team had a couple of pricks.
Right.
We call those guys middleweights, right? And every team had a couple of heavies, which were batting cleanup. So the real problem is when those little pricks, those middleweights, could fucking throw them like hell. And now you're like dealing with that prick running around all night. Well, then guess what? If you happen to beat him up or get the best of him, well, then fucking Congo Kimball's crawling over the boards next, dragging his knuckles behind him, going to headbutt you with a Buick, and fucking now it's lights out.
But you know what the worst part was, though? But I don't know what was the worst part, because it was job security, but, you know, when your team was losing 5-2 or 5-1, it was good for you, because you could go out and fight, and that coach, you know, he would lay off your ass, and you'd still get skated like everyone else.
And
but
the fans knew it was coming.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you were losing fucking 8-1, it was good. But when you were winning 8-1, you know, you're sitting there thinking, shit, maybe I can get out of this night and I don't have to fight somebody. Well, shit, what do you think the guy, what do you think Proby's sitting over there thinking? I'm getting beat fucking 8-1. I'm going to kick the fuck out of somebody. And who's it going to be? And, you know, I guess your hand had to get raised because that was you on the other side. But
yeah, but Kimby, you and I both know, okay? Because in those 8-1 games when you're winning, you and I both know Holly had 3 or 4 goals. Oatsy had like 5 assists. And in order for you to get any action from the ladies at all that night, you had to go out and fight somebody, right? Because at least the end of the game, they're like, oh, there's Darren Kimble. He's so tough. Otherwise, it's Brett Hull and Adam Oates, right? Who's that guy with them, you know? Now, that's why you had to go out there.
They thought I was when I would go out with Holly to go out. They thought I was the limo driver. They said, Darren Kimball, who the fuck's that? So that's what I was going on.
Somebody said they thought you were the mascot a couple of times. I don't know about that, but hey, funny story, real quick. And Kimball, you'll appreciate this one. I know you got to go. You're spending family time today, and we'll let you go after this. But the funny story: in my first year in Worcester, we had the Ice Cats, right? Like in the American Hockey League, like such a fantastic minor league name. Well, our mascot himself, he like called in with the stomach flu or something, like who fucking knows, he was hungover or he was already drunk, whatever. Jimmy Roberts comes in and tells the healthy scratches, like, has the guys take warm-up. And the reason he had them take warm-up is because we used to have some brawls or some get-togethers and warm-ups in the minors, and you dressed a few extra guys so you had numbers, right? And Jimmy was old school like that, so he'd do that. Well, now, he would go out there, and Jimmy always had somebody who he didn't really, not that he didn't like, but he kind of had it in for, and fucking guys would come off, and they already heard the mascot sick, right? Jimmy made one of our healthy scratches go up and be the mascot that night, so.
I knew that was coming.
It was awesome. We're sitting there trying to focus on the game, and we're seeing the mascot run up and down the stairs, and we know it's one of our teammates.
Is this your way of asking Kimby if he ever had to wear the mascot uniform?
Well, hey, first of all, good luck finding the head that'll fit over, right? Like, I mean, I'm just saying, Kimby.
Oh, that's beautiful, man.
Hey,
that's a good story.
Kimby.
All right, guys, I'm going to bail out.
I was going to say, we'll let you go. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving us as much time as you did here, because otherwise it's pretty boring with these two. So I appreciate it.
See you.
All right, guys. You guys have a good one.
See you, brother.
Bye. The great Darren Kimball.
I love it, man.
He's the best.
He's so much fun, man, to talk to. Like, that's the best part about doing this whole thing is I knew how Kimby was from talking to him and knowing him. And now we never played together, right? So when we kind of got to know each other
You played against him?
I played against him, but then I get to know him a little bit here in St. Louis, local hockey scene. Lawson's a year younger than my boys. So, but then, you know, as we got to know each other, and then obviously we reach out, we talked about doing this here, and it's been so much fun to get to know
him. Excellent, man.
He's an awesome dude.
It's reminiscing.
It is. And you know, the fun part was when we met Darren through his now wife, when he, you know, was here and then stayed here. We loved hockey. Like, John knows how much I loved hockey growing up.
Oh, so loved hockey more than me.
Yeah, but, you know, like, if you think about, me and Henson and that, when we got to know Darren, and then you're sitting out at the golf course with him, or we actually went on a golf trip with a bunch of guys together and was out of town, you're sitting around drinking, you know how that shit goes, right? To sit across from him, and you're really sitting there talking to him going, man, because if you really love hockey, it's like, man, this dude squared up with Proby, he squared up with Tony, he squared up with all of them. And he's just telling stories. You're just sitting here going, this is the greatest thing ever. But then, and true to form, as you guys do get a good rap, well-deserved good rap, just great people. I mean, just not big timing you.
Yeah.
Not big time. Like, you know, hey guys, who wants a beer? He goes up and gets a beer, and then you get around. It's not a big time. Not,
right.
Doesn't go up there and say, "Hey, I'm Darren Kemp." I mean,
I remember Jamie out on the ice, man. I tell you, it was like you got into a fight, and it went right into the center. I mean, you guys just ran into each other, and I'll never forget. It's all fuzzy, but it was.
I'll never forget, but it's all fuzzy.
It's all fuzzy. I'll tell you, it was all fuzzy, and they just came at each other. It was like, fuck, this guy's my type of guy. I swear to God, I loved your play, man.
Hey, you know,
and the Blues. You guys used to hang out at Boomers after the games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, well, we used to hang out after the games, but it was mostly like the Sunday games. Sunday night at Boomers was...
It might be.
It was good stuff.
Brett Hall sitting in the corner. All right, now I got my story. You guys are just walking around and stuff. I see Brett Hall sitting there. No one's approaching him. Everyone's coming to him like homage and putting a shot down and just walking away. I come up to him. Actually, I wore this Armenian logo. I come up to him, I go, "Hey, Brett, that was a hell of a game, man. I loved seeing you." And he goes, "Hey, you want to sit down?" And I go,
"Well, yeah." now he's the godfather.
That was pretty good, though. That wasn't bad, was it?
He had a cigarette.
Well, yeah, maybe he had a cigarette. You just made him sound like the godfather.
Can you do a better Brett Hall? Well, ask him to sit down in your Brett Hall voice.
Yeah, let's hear
you. Just sit down.
That was pretty good.
That's the way he said it was, "Hey, why don't you sit down?" So I sat right across from him. I'm fucking, people are bringing these shots. Now I'm drinking with Brett Hall, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to ask this guy for an autograph. I may hang out with this guy now. This guy may be my friend. Brett Hall may be my fucking friend now.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
And for like 2 hours, I'm sitting there with him, right? So I'm about to leave, and I go, "Hey, Brett, you know what? Maybe you could give me your phone number." And he says, "All right, I'll do it." He gives me his fucking phone number. Like a bitch, I don't call for like 2 days. I got all the guys over to my house.
Was it a 555 number?
No. Wait till I tell you. I got the guys over. We're watching wrestling, WWF wrestling.
Like a bitch, he says. Like, I don't want to call him today. Hey.
It's like the two-day rule.
Yeah, I don't
want
to call him today. I don't want to show him I'm too eager.
Right, exactly. I don't want to seem too excited. 2 fucking days later, I got the guys over, and I got the old phones. I put it on speaker. I dial the number. It goes, IHOP. I hung up. I got to get the wrong number.
Yeah.
I got the guys now. Did they just say IHOP? I go, I got the wrong number. I'm dialing again. I dialed again. It said IHOP. I go, motherfucker, how do you know the IHOP number to give me an IHOP number? You could give me a number that's been disconnected, but an IHOP number?
I guarantee he just gave you a number, and it could have rang anywhere.
And
it just happened to be IHOP.
You know, by
the way, is a fantastic story, and one day we're gonna have to have Holly on here, and we're gonna have to redo that story, and we're gonna hear his version if he even remembers it.
How do you forget this guy? How can you forget this guy, the Ocho Man?
But he knew. Yeah. He knew I was Armenian. He goes, "Well, I told him I'm Armenian," and then he said, "I know a lot of Armenians in L.A."
And I had a part in The Godfather, too.
That's how I remember that. I mean, that's how I remember his voice, a deep voice.
You tell the story, too. Like, you're sitting down, and people are starting to bring you drinks. Like, you're a made man now because you're sitting with The Godfather.
I felt it, man. It was great hanging with
you. That is awesome.
I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think the Blues players hang out with the people like that. They want to be left alone and all that. But these guys were just fucking, it was like the movie Slapshot. They're all in the hotel lobby together hanging out.
Social media, baby.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Unfortunately, times have changed, right? So now even you talk about your one experience. Let's isolate that, right? Now you've got a cell phone camera. You've got a camera. Your buddies have a camera. They're filming you talking to Brett Hull because it's pretty neat, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, Brett Hull on Tuesday or Wednesday plays like shit, and somebody says, "Well, he was out till fucking 5 in the morning at Boomers. Look at here,
he is
so drinking."
Right. You're so right.
And that's the problem. So players now, they kind of run and hide. And it's just not because they're not good guys. Times have changed, and because of all of it.
They adapt to it.
That's right. So they've become creatures of their own environment where, you know, I still, to this day, when I go out, like I always say, my brother and I always, it's a, movie quote, obviously a very famous one. We always say, if we build it, they will come. And so my brother and I, we always sit at the end of the bar, and we just start having a good time, ordering shots and drinks and talking to people. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you got the whole fucking bar over in your corner, and you're telling bullshit stories. You're talking about this, talking about that. Like, but you can't do that anymore. If you build it and they will come, you do that now, they're like, oh, they'll come, all right. It'll be on Instagram, Facebook, this. Look at these two guys right holding up the bar. They could barely stand up without
right,
that bar.
Right. I never thought about it.
You know what?
That's the problem.
Hey, in the world of how the, you know, he goes from thinking that he's going to be best friends with Brett Hall.
We talked about a hot tub.
Hang on.
Don't ruin it for him. He still thinks he's best friends with
Brett Hall. He actually did become really good friends with Jay McClement. He went from Brett Hall
I still got his phone number on my thing, too.
It was his drinking buddy.
Wait, is that Waffle House or IHOP?
It was another Brentwood place there that we...
Jay McClement was a hell of a guy. I played with him,
too. Nice guy, quiet guy. He went to the horse tracks, watched my horse run with a couple other guys. And
well, he thought because you're Armenian, you're going to order a hit on him or something. He said, I better go watch this guy.
Jamie, I want on this topic, okay, I'm going to give you a minute to think about this because I'm going to hit you with this as I tell our listeners who we are.
Well,
I'm not going to hit you. I have John will hit you. He's a
okay, here we all go. Right? Eh?
So I want you to think about this while I do our remind people who we are. I want you to think about your starstruck moment. When you know, like when you got called up or your first camp, like who was there and you're like, I can't believe I'm here. So
can we take a guess on what team this guy was on? I'm going to say an Edmonton Oiler player that you looked up to.
Well, I think they all looked up to that guy, but we'll see.
I played with a lot of Oilers.
There were a lot of Oilers.
But here's the thing. This is his, hang on. I understand what you're saying. This is his personal story, though, so I want to get it from him.
I was just taking a...
Yep, no. I hear where you're going. So remember, guys, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Hey, one of the things we're really going to start pushing with you guys is we need you to actually subscribe to the show. It doesn't cost you anything. We're having some issues with like Facebook and social media, the way they're reporting things and doing this. We really need some help from you guys to just subscribe to the show. It's much easier for iTunes and for our counters to be able to track what we're doing, just to make sure we're doing a good job. So
it helps us get paid a couple of bucks so I can put food on the table and buy Christmas presents for my kids who
put
are crying.
Put food on his table, for love of God.
For the love of God, yeah.
So just subscribe to like actually make it known that you actually like us. Tell your buddies to subscribe. They don't have to listen, but just subscribe.
Yep. Now, he doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to get with Jamie. We're going to put together a subscription drive contest. So the contest is going to revolve around what he can do to come up with something really cool that we can offer you guys to subscribe to the show. I just laid that on him. See, he can't say anything now because we're on air. So he's like, I'm going to do
that. When has on air ever stopped me before?
I know, that's true. But hey, bluesnhlpodcast.com, subscribe to the show. Maybe do your shopping at Amazon with Christmas here. Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen are producers. It tremendously helps them out. Again, we can't thank you enough. Social media, find us at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. We're really interested in what you have to say. We're still trying to build that community on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast, like the page. When you see the pinned post, if you like it, share it, and throw a comment on it, you'll be registered for one of the other contests that we do frequently on here, whether it be autographs. We're going to hopefully have some tickets coming up here and things like that. So that's one way you can definitely support the show. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well. Happy to have you guys be there. And lineupmedia.fm is where we're part of that podcast network, but also home to Yo Radio, the streaming platform that you guys are going to love. It's new, it's sleek, it's handy, and I'm telling you, the new version, you guys are going to love it. That's Yo Radio. Download it on your mobile device today. Okay, Mr. Rivers, played hockey your whole life.
By the way,
that was pretty good. Yeah. Not bad. I mean, usually it's a fucking mess. It's like, holy shit. But
he's
anyways.
Like Dick Clark.
You got one part of that right.
So, the interesting part for guys like yourself is, what people don't understand, I don't think, sometimes, the real true hockey guys love these types of stories. You guys are younger. You got to leave home. I mean, it's to be a hockey player takes a little bit more, I think, than some people think. Like, 14 years old, I got to move. I got to go somewhere else. Things like that. So you've done some really incredible things by the time you even make it into your first dressing room. But it doesn't change the fact that you grew up a fan. You had players you looked up to, people you looked up to, things like that. Now, this is an interesting one for you because if anybody knows Jamie Rivers, and I don't know how big your circle is, but your Rolodex is interesting. It's not like a who's who of hockey. You have an interesting Rolodex that will keep it clean here, but you've got some friends in, let's just say, all the entertainment industries.
That's
so
true.
I want to know like a couple of your starstruck moments. Obviously, we want your hockey one.
I'll give you a couple.
But because of your...
He's got it. Let him go.
No. I want people to understand this. Because of your running in certain circles, those type of starstruck moments as well.
Wow. All right. Well, I got a couple. So we'll do my first, like when I was young. We'll do a hockey one. We'll do maybe music. And we'll do like other entertainment.
Oh,
we'll
wow. call it. You got all this.
And huh? Oh, by the way, we'll touch on the Blues the last 5 minutes of the show. Go ahead.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. This is kind of fun.
This
so.
Is great.
First moment was I was 15, just turned 16, went up to Sudbury, Ontario, and went to a club called Solid Gold.
Solid Gold. That's those dancers.
Entertainment. Adult entertainment. And a girl named Bunny Glamazon came on stage.
Fuck, who is Bunny Glamazon? For love of God.
This is a joke. But yeah, she was 6'6". It was incredible, and it was a woman. So that was my first starstruck moment. Like that's a joke, but I'm making light of it. But
yeah, we didn't get that.
Hockey, well, the fact that he was 15 in a strip club, I think, and buzzing, yeah, Bunny Glamazon was as good.
I had a little bit of a mustache. I think I passed. but no, in all seriousness, now, look, it's hard to not go to your first NHL training camp and be a little starstruck. We came in here in St. Louis. We had Brett Hull. Like, holy shit, right? And then you got Brandon Shanahan. You got Curtis Joseph. You got all these guys you've been watching on TV. And, you know, Holly was so cool, so it never really
did
was.
Did he give you his phone number?
he did, and actually it wasn't the IHOP. So it was weird how that worked. But I wasn't really starstruck at that moment because, you know, when you're drafted there and, like, you have to have a certain, like Kimby's talked about it, a certain swagger or cockiness to you, right? So I felt like, fuck, I belong here. Like, I don't really give a shit about, you know, Brett Hull because I should be here. And so, now, it wasn't like dickhead like that. It was like, I feel like I'm a part of this team. Like, I could play here, which, you know, I did very shortly after. So it's like, there's not that starstruck moment. Now, the one time in hockey that I was starstruck, like you alluded to, we traded for the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Mm. And, you know, we're all kind of buzzing around and then, his first day, and then we're at the Kiel Center at the time, still called the Kiel Center, imagine yep. that, right? And we're looking through, like, he had the lounge, and I'm looking through the door, and there he is. There's the great one. He's, like, reading the USA Today, and I'm like, I feel like I'm a parent or somebody looking through a baby nursery, like, just fogging up damn the glass, right. Like, oh, look at that one. That one's mine.
That's Babe Ruth.
That one's mine, you know?
That
and
one's mine.
So I walk in. And there he is, and, you know, Wayne's not a big guy. He's 160 pounds, and, you know, I'm like, holy shit, it's Wayne Gretzky. You walk over, and I'm like, hi, Mr. Gretzky, my name's Jamie. He goes, call me Wayne, you know? And he's like, call me Wayne. He goes, Jamie Rivers, I know exactly who you are. And he rhymed off, like, some of my stats from junior hockey.
Shut up.
I shit you not. And I was, like, blown away. At that moment, like, you know, did we just become best friends? I was like, yep.
Yeah.
And so that was my starstruck moment for, you know, meeting a hockey guy. Obviously, it's an obvious choice because he's the greatest player to ever live, and I don't care what anybody says. Nobody will duplicate what he's done. So had the opportunity to meet him. That was my big, you know, wow moment in hockey. And then, you know, with music – you know, there's been a few. You know, I've had the opportunity to have lunch with Garth Brooks, you know, Bon Jovi, Kid Rock, Tommy Lee. There's lots of guys that I've been able to not just hang out with, but, you know, call them friends, acquaintances, whatever you want to do. And
very cool.
It's pretty cool that way.
I wasn't talking about music.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, obviously.
Does your wife listen to the show?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I'm just kidding.
I'm an open book. And then there's obviously the story from way back about meeting Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
You know, that was a huge one.
Fuck, you met Hugh Hefner?
Yeah, that's a good one. You'll have to go back. You'll have to subscribe to the show.
I will.
Tell your friends to subscribe, and then you can go back in the
library. I will mention it on my show at Ocho Man Behind Eight Ball.
That might
there
be an Ocho. That could be your stint on the Ocho show, your Hugh Hefner
I will
show.
Redo the Hugh Hefner thing for the Ocho.
Oh,
but that was
it.
That was a huge moment, obviously. I mean, he's the man, right? And then the other one, which, you know, it's just kind of comical, but still, if you know anything about the adult film industry at all.
Not John. He doesn't know anything about it.
Well, I mean, one of the most iconic people ever is Ron Jeremy.
Hats off.
And obviously Peter North is another guy, but to have these two guys at the same party at the same time and to meet Ron Jeremy and talk shop, we'll call it. That was pretty funny because obviously he's iconic, you know, for many reasons.
Right.
And so those are my ones. Without boring
more
everybody,
interested in the girls at that party. How about those Bears? I don't want to know about Peter North.
I tell you what, though, going back to his Edmonton with Gretzky.
Yeah.
When I remember the Checker Dome, we'd be on the glass and watching these guys skate around before the game, man, and all their feathered hair just flying around, and we'd go, wow, look at this one. Look at that one. I mean, up and down, that was an all-star fucking team.
Well,
and they
it's
were
like the
so
team
cool.
of the century, wasn't
they
it?
So they were so cool.
They gave
so
that
cool.
team, I shit you not, I think they gave that team of the century.
As they should have.
There's no doubt about it. Even if you folks aren't really familiar with hockey that much and just want to listen to the show, I'm telling you, check out Edmonton's team back then.
Yeah, it's incredible.
What year was did you ever get to skate in the Dome, Checker Dome? Was that your first?
Yeah, we did. It was. I didn't play a league game, a regular season game in the Checker Dome. We played a couple exhibition games, or preseason as they call it there. But I remember the first time I went down and got free equipment in my life. You know, I had a couple pair of skates. I shouldn't say that. A couple pairs of skates in junior, where those were my first real new gear ever in life. But then when I came to the Blues, they let you go down there and pick a couple of sticks and stuff. And I remember looking at it like, wow. I get to walk in the stick room, and I forget whose stick I picked up. But.
And, fellas, I really think back then in the Checker Dome was the Blues-Blackhawks rivalry. I think that's when it was really
heated.
Well, no, heated.
It was heated. You're right. Okay, obviously
and
you can't
then when
duplicate
it went to
that.
The Staple, whatever, Key, whatever the fuck, every other year it changes, then I think it transcended into Detroit. I think you started seeing more Detroit hatred.
Well, I can tell you this. I played against both teams, obviously. Played for the Red Wings, so I'll speak to that in a second. But the Blackhawks, like when I came in, like we played the Blackhawks, and guys were like, hey, you better fucking be ready because this is going to be this is the real deal. And so you're kind of sitting there. I think I was 19, maybe 20 at the time. And you're kind of shitting yourself a little bit. You're looking across, and you're like, wow, there's some tough guys. And when I say tough guys, like – man for man, almost every guy could chuck them. Like, even if you're looking at their star players, right. They could still chuck them. Like, right. If you weren't on your game, you'd be eating a mouthful of knuckles from their 50-goal score.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so, now, the one thing that we had going for us, the big thing, the biggest trump card, we'll call it, is Tony Twist. You know, you throw that fucker down at any point, and it's like, yeah, what's up? What do you got for me now?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've told this story on here before where Twister saved my life. Well, more than one time and several times in my life. But, you know, in Chicago, I nailed Dougie Gilmore. If you can remember, he played for the Blackhawks briefly. I mean, I fucking hit him hard. And then the next whistle, or the next time I came on, you know, they sent out, like, Probert, Ryan Vandenbosch, Mark Jansons. I forget who they had on D. They had, like, five guys that could throw.
Those are big guys.
And we didn't have anybody on the ice. Like, it was me. And, you know, I think we had, like, Craig Conroy, Scott Pellerin, and, like, you know,
right.
Good guys.
Yeah.
And guys I love, but not guys who were going to be able to say, hey, Proby, go fuck yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm staring over there, and I'm like, holy shit, here it comes. Like, I'm going to die here tonight. And the faceoff gets one, and one of the guys shoots it, like, tries to dump it in my corner, misses the glass, shoots it into the bench, so whistle. So I'm like, whoo. Like, I'm like, all right, Coach
ice.
Q is going to take me off here.
Right.
Like, he's smart enough to see that I'm going to get my fucking head pounded. And
I'm off.
Nope. He leaves me out there. And those guys all stay because Chicago, we're in Chicago. They have last change. And then it was like a thing of beauty. All of a sudden, Twister just throws a leg over and crawls over the bench and
God
stands
bless.
There. And the face-off is right in front of our bench, too. And he stands right beside, I think it was Proby, actually. No, he was on the left. Might have been Ryan Vandenbosch, who was tough as shit, too. He stands there, and Twister, looking kind of disinterested in the game altogether, stands straight up and looks at all of their players, and he says, any of you fuckers want to fight?
Nice.
Nobody says a word.
Nice.
And he goes, all right, let's play hockey. And then, you know, now I'm sitting there, balls the size of church bells. I'm like, yeah, what's up? What's up? What was that, Proby? Yeah. What's up, you know? And we got through the shift, and nobody fought.
Nice.
Twister and the rest of the game, I stayed alive, and I'm still here to tell the story.
Oh,
but
I'm still here. To tell
if it
the
wasn't
story.
For Tony Twist, I guarantee I would, you know, have
Did he talk to you afterwards.
Oh, there's no words necessary.
All right,
I knew it, all you know. Right. But that's also the case where if some little shithead on other teams. This is what people don't understand. We always talk about the enforcers protecting the players, right? You had a job as a lesser player to protect the enforcer from little shits. Because the problem is that any little shit goes and hits them, they can't fight the guy. Like, ever then they get like, ah, big guy ripping on a little guy, you know?
Who is that, though? That's a Dino Cicerelli. I hated that little
Okay,
part.
Yeah. So if Dino Cicerelli goes after or cheap shots Tony Twist or something like that,
yeah.
It's my job and other guys of my weight category to skate over and go after Dino Cicerelli. Because, one, it's a payback for guys like Twister who did what they just, like I just told you about.
Right.
And you can't let little guys go bug your big guys.
No.
Because it's like the unwritten rule, the big guy doesn't really want to beat the shit out of a little guy. So it's kind of like that awkward, you know.
Right.
So you got to fire in there. And so that was kind of the thing, is if someone was a little dick or something to Twister, then I made sure that I lined that son of a bitch up and crushed him. And, like, you right. just took care of your own. Now, obviously, Twister's impact on the game that way was much larger than mine. Mm-hmm. But still, you felt like you had an obligation to at least try and pay it forward, pay it back to him, you know?
That's
well, I can tell you, this was probably well needed as I...
I'm not done.
Oh, you got more?
I'm not done.
You've got more.
We're not leaving. Hey, what's that leaving. From Wolf of Wall Street? I'm not fucking leaving.
If you got more, give it
I
to
do.
Us.
I do. And I got a couple things here. We're going to talk about expansion, but that's kind of boring, so we'll save that for like next week. But we talk about the... You jarred my brain earlier about... Mic'd up, right? Mic'd up situations where players are jabbing each other back and forth, and some of that stuff is just gold. And I wish that every one of us was mic'd up back in the day, and like HBO would have had like Game of the Week, where everything goes, right? Like, how sick would that have been? We could even do a pay-per-view, like $5 for the game, and every player is mic'd, and everything, like you hear, that'd be sick. I thought about that a long time ago. And actually, I brought it up too. Oddly enough, to tie it into expansion, I brought up to a guy, Michael Rosenbaum. He was Lex Luthor in Smallville, and like he's an actor. He does a bunch of things. Well, I brought it up to him because he's friends with Jerry Bruckheimer. And I was like, why don't we talk to Jerry Bruckheimer about doing this like all-access NHL game? Because I'm like, Bruckheimer's a big hockey fan. Well, fuck, full circle, here we go, right? Like, that project obviously never came to fruition, and the NHL would probably never sign off on it. But now coming full circle... Bruckheimer's part of the ownership group for the Seattle team.
Wow.
So it's funny.
So you got connection with that now.
Well, I don't know. I can't pick up the phone and call Bruckheimer, but I could probably get his number.
You want me to call him?
Hello, IHOP.
IHOP Kirkwood.
But getting back off here as my ADD kicked in there, all right, we talk about the other night, Parayko. Did anybody see that?
We've had some people ask your thoughts on it.
All right, well, if you didn't see it, Parayko's behind the net. It's 3-on-3. It's overtime against the Edmonton Oilers, probably the most dangerous team in the league, apart from the Maple Leafs, to play 3-on-3 hockey against. And Parayko's behind the net, and he's stick-handling, like, waiting. You can tell he's got a line change. Guys are coming on, coming off. And if he just goes with it, he might get his pocket picked, and they might end up scoring. So it's his decision as a professional hockey player to sit behind the net and stay hidden, right? Because he's buying time.
Right.
The referee's yelling at him, move it. Parayko, like, looks at him, like, a couple of times, like, is this guy fucking for real? You know? And then he goes,
do you have to move it?
Well, you don't have to.
1 minute.
What?
1 minute.
For what?
You can move it.
That's according to the rules. You can sit
okay,
back
but
there
he wasn't
one.
Sitting there for
right.
a fucking
no,
minute.
I know. I'm just letting you know. That
fuck,
is the
I thought he's going to be 1 minute left. I mean, fuck off.
1 minute. Get off.
Yeah, one last minute of play.
Less. Yeah.
So he's sitting there, and he, you know, the ref's like, move it. And Parayko looks back and says, I can do whatever I want. And the referee goes, oh, really? Almost like you're challenging me, right?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me? Like, that's where we're at now, where... Like, referees are sitting there acting like they're puffing out his chest.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
We're in overtime. Don't forget the setting of this. Overtime. Right. And he's like, oh, really? Like, going to puff out his chest. Like,
and he came at him?
No, he didn't do shit from there. But the whole concept, like, at that point, what if Parayko feels like, oh, shit, I'm going to get a penalty in overtime.
I better move it.
And now he gets it picked off and they score. Right. What, do you think anybody's going to blame the referee?
No, the ref's out of the scene now.
Yeah. So it goes back to, you know, we talk about that old school shit, and the referees used to actually have a relationship with us, but can you imagine?
No.
It might be like football, telling the quarterback, like, he's holding it in the pocket. He's like, Tom, you better pass it.
You better get rid of that ball.
Yeah, I don't care if there's nobody there. You got to pass it.
Yeah, yeah, I like the mic'd up stuff's been great. That was good. I when it happened, I'm sitting here going, oh, we had to have missed something there. Like, that, why would he say that? And then sure enough, man, once the clear stuff really came out, I was like, that makes no sense. So then I got curious, started looking up stuff, and then while I was looking it up, somebody had sent out, well, there is, like, some NHL guy. Well, there is actually a rule, like, if you stood back there, you can, it's like a minute. And I'm like, a minute? It was like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't long. I mean, even if you stretch it to 10 seconds, okay? Like, a minute is fucking far off.
You know what, though, Jamie? I just thought of this. What if they had, like, the cops have those glasses or those, they have cameras.
The body cam.
Yeah, why don't they have a body cam on a helmet? And you could subscribe to that, or you could pay yearly just to watch that one athlete with his camera on that helmet.
Well, you know, you're not – here's the thing with that, okay? The referees now, some refs, like in the Olympics and some of the All-Star games, they have the helmets that'll have the camera on it, and you'll get the referee's view, which it's really kind of hard to pick up because it's everything's so fast, right, you know? Yeah. But here's the problem you're going to run into is the NHL – would never okay that unless it had to, unless it was able to go through three or four filters. And what I mean by that is you're in the truck, right? On the TV, and you're like, you hear, hey, you son of a bleep, 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 whatever the hell it is, right? And then you go, whoa, filter. Like, we got to dump, 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 dump. And then by the time you get to the version.
Uncut, uncensored.
Yeah, but you'd never get that because the players, what happens if. Yeah, like lots of things are said.
Throws a racial word or something like that.
The guys stay away from that now because they know that's a real hot button. Sexuality and racial. Now, sexuality still comes in when guys get called, you know, some derogatory words. It happens. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what if you have nothing against gay people, but you're calling this guy a name in the game, right? Because you're like, now it's. Not, I'm not saying it's right.
No, no. But then
now you have a player that's now liable for that because he's the camera player and you subscribe to it. And the NHL's liable because they provided you the content.
I got it.
You see, I just put my lawyer hat on. That sounded pretty good, eh, guys?
I got to tell you.
Holy you solved shit. That. You resolved that, right?
If anybody needs a good, what do they call that, associate out there,
let me
partner.
Tell you. Litigation team, Jamie Rivers, and Kimball. That sounds like a Netflix series.
Speaking of
Kimball,
we got our buddy Ocho Man in here. He's drinking.
I already drank it. I drank two.
He drank two beers, but he didn't drink a Kimball.
Yeah,
I will next time if you guys invite me back. I love this.
I'll invite you back anytime. But then we got to sit in here. And we all got to get Kimballed together. That's what I call it. Getting Kimballed.
Have you gotten your free Kimball yet?
No, fuck. Are you kidding me? Kimball didn't give me free shit.
He said he had to pay for it.
By the way, I finally got Red Bull.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's our guy? Do we know the name? Yeah. You never told me.
You got to give a shout out.
You got to give a shout. I know we want to have him in here, but still.
I offered to have him come in. He said he's a little bit ways away. But
well,
he heard
you're a little weird. That's
he did an unbelievable job of listening to your cries for help. And he did it. It was awesome. I couldn't believe it.
But now, is he a Red Bull provider, or did he just go buy this and send it to me?
Dude, he sent a whole box.
I know. He's got like signs and drink holders.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I want t-shirts.
You
got to
give him a shout out.
I'm looking for it now.
Now, I hear that now. I'm like, I want t-shirts. That, like, this isn't enough. This guy's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, you know what I love about this show? You know what? I don't follow the Blues a lot. I mean, I watch them here and there, but this is what I love. I love hearing about the foils on the
hands, yeah.
That's what it was all about,
you know
about,
what we'll
man.
Do? We'll bring you back. The next time we have Kimball in studio, if we have an area, which we always make time for, but we'll bring you back to go over that exact discussion
that we had. Brilliant, man.
Back in the office because.
Wesley Harris.
Wesley Harris. Does he have a Twitter handle?
Yes.
Let's get him some followers.
I don't know about Twitter. I'm sorry, Facebook. He's just Wesley Harris on Facebook.
He's Wesley Harris on Facebook. Do
we
have
two
a picture?
And a half hours. Yeah.
Let's see this guy. See, he looks like a criminal. Wesley Harris, blow up his picture. Oh, look at this.
Got to do this here.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. He's got his baby in his picture.
I'll be in Illinois. God, he works for RC Beverage. Sales supervisor. He's a sales supervisor. He took some time. They obviously distribute Red Bull down there. And this guy took the time to listen to the show and hear your cries for help. What an ambassador for Red Bull. Hey, round of applause.
Yay.
Wesley, the invitation is there. We know you listen to the show. Anytime you can make it up here, we typically, now these guys are rock stars these days, so.
Mariah Carey, who just phoned
you're busy,
in here.
You're busy. You know, you've been, your duties have increased.
Have I not been on Monday and Thursday?
Yesterday. What happened yesterday? You had to hit the ice, right?
He's got me.
Well, my point is that if we had to change the day, it wouldn't be because these guys aren't doing it. It's because they're busy people, and we appreciate it. But, hey, anytime we can work it out, we'll get you up here, hang out with the fellas, grab a bite, whatever. But they thank you. For sure. Are we getting Kimball hooked on this Red Bull yet? Does he really need it? He touched it
just one day, and we fired off, and we're still recovering. Our HR department's still recovering from the one day Kimball touched a Red Bull. Holy shit.
Well, hey, Wesley, thank you. Again, you're welcome to join anytime, and that case of Red Bull, by my estimations of being around Jamie, it'll probably be gone in 2 weeks. So
I want to thank you guys, too, for allowing me to be on the show.
Hey, we loved it. We loved having you on.
Anytime you guys are welcome on my show, and you know what? I'll give a big plug out for your show as well.
Yeah,
my Ocho Man behind the eight ball.
Now wait, you sitting there in your hoodie right now?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, by the way. I love your look.
Thanks, babe.
If I
love your look too.
I mean, if I was a blind girl and I was inebriated, I'd be into you.
Fuck yeah! So, I got a blind girl going for me now.
But last thing we'll talk about before we go, because I know we're getting pressed on time. I know you got to go.
I got a doctor's appointment in ten minutes.
John Tortorella last night steps behind an NHL bench, and he's wearing a hoodie rather than a suit. Now, his reasoning was that he was sick and felt under the weather and was cold and chilled and all this stuff. I thought, it's been far too long.
Yes.
Like, why did the coaches go out there in a suit? Like, I did coach pro hockey, and going out in a suit was kind of cumbersome because you're really not comfortable. You want to talk to your players. You got to worry. You got Sharpie in your hand and other shit. You're getting your shirt. Like Bruce Boudreau spilling hot wing sauce on his fucking shirt. You know?
Yeah, you can't have that.
Why not have the hoodies?
I agree.
Like, I think it looked pretty good.
You're on to something again, Rivers.
Fuck You've Coach Torts. Keep it going. I'd love to see Coach Berube step behind there tonight, the sleeves cut off his hoodie like Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
I mean, how many Super Bowls the guys won? You know,
Not enough yet, right?
Who in the NHL office is going to say something to the chief? Hey, that's not acceptable.
Well, that's exactly right. No, I understand, but I think it's a good look. I think it's okay.
I do too. Sweatpants and a hoodie.
If you're approving,
well, I don't know about sweatpants.
Or jeans? What are you going to go, jeans?
No, you could go with a pair of like khakis or a pair of slacks. I think that's acceptable with the hoodie. It's all team colors anyways, right? And at the same time, guess what? You could – here's my brain going again.
Uh-oh.
If you're the NHL and you want to capitalize on this, and the players should be on board too because it's a 50-50 split revenue sharing, you should have special hoodies that only the coaches wear. Players don't get them. Fans don't get them.
Who's going to buy a suit? They'll buy that, though.
That's right. They're not getting any money from the suit company.
No. That's right. So you could go online like halfway through the year, at the end of the year, special times only, and you could buy the coach's hoodie. God damn it, and look just like a St. Louis Blues head coach.
You ought to have some sort of segment on Shark Tank. I mean, that shit, you're coming up with some great ideas.
I know, I just gave them to everybody, though, so I'm screwed. Damn it.
Well, I can tell you, great show. Enjoyed this very much. Jono, thanks for joining us. You're welcome back anytime.
I loved it, man. I don't know too much what's going on.
Now you got to reciprocate. Both you guys will be on the Ocho Man Talk.
Whoa, we got to be careful saying that around John. Reciprocate.
Well, hey, listen, thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed story time. As I said, let's get some wins going, and we'll get to talking about the on-ice product a little bit more. But we do appreciate you guys very much. Hey, another guy that we love to hear some takes from, just another suffering fan like the rest of us, is our friend Dennis Minner with his Live from Minner Arena segment, as always brought to you by our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse. Don't forget, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, they're open until 7 o'clock on Watson Road. Check out their delivery zip codes. Find out if you're in that range there. And, of course, if you need any catering, Adam's Smokehouse is it. Best barbecue in sight. Jono, you went with us. How good was that barbecue at Adam's?
It was great, man, and big portions. Yep. They don't put any flowers and stuff on top of that.
No garnish.
I mean, it's the real deal.
Yeah, no flowers on their barbecue. But, hey, let's hear what our man.
Right there. That's right. Got to be going everywhere.
Yep. All right. Dennis, take it away.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me back. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Minner Arena, and check out the Ultimate St. Louis Blues Fan Cave. Hey, we are brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. And do me a favor. You've got Christmas parties coming up, and who wants to waste time cooking? You can run down to Adam Smokehouse, get you some carry out, grab you a couple sides of ribs, and, man, you will not be sorry. So So go check out Adam's Smokehouse. Well, I don't even know where to begin. here we are. The game starts. Yeah, I just got done watching it. I didn't make it to the game tonight. I had plans, thank goodness. So I recorded it. And the game starts 30 seconds in. What do? What are we known for the last 2-3 years? But too many men on the ice 30 seconds in. It's pretty obvious that there is an absolute complete failure and breakdown within this team with communication. From a stat I think I saw that we are leading the NHL the last 2 years on too many men on the ice. But, you know, here we are. We've got Nosteen, Petro, Fabry, Gunnarsson, Schwartz. You know, it's kind of like we started out last year, but when we lost all those players at the beginning of last year, our young guys stepped up, and that's kind of how I thought this game was starting out. You know, we jump out this game against the Oilers. We're winning 2-0. It's the Blues, you know, that I thought we won all the time. They're moving the puck. They're dumping and retrieving. They're making plays, following through on checks, moving with emotion. And I think we start to see some of that when some of these younger players start stepping in. They're fighting for positions. You've got other guys that are fighting for more ice time. You've got players, you know, that first period, Barbie and Kyrou and Sonny just all over the ice. And then all of a sudden we come right out into the second period. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, you know, the Oilers strike first. Didn't freak me out too much because, look, I've had my moments of not liking Jake Allen. But again, I will continue to say this. He is not the problem of this team, especially as of late. But that first goal that he lost tonight was a simple fact. We just got outworked. Allen had lost the puck. That was not really a fault on his. But we had those lanes covered. We had everything in position, and they would just not give up. But one of the things I've loved, even through all this, we've seen and heard bits and pieces and grumblings on Tarasenko. But, man, you know, a few games ago he was taking some of those block shots. Tonight, I loved in the second period, I don't know if everyone noticed, but he took a really hard hit from Brodziak and was leaning over in pain. And then 15 seconds later, he was diving, stretching out just to block a pass. And that's the kind of stuff that impresses me with Tarasenko. He was really stepping it up defensively. And then the third period, 55 seconds left, we're going to win the game, and boom, tie game, going to overtime, nothing, shootout, McDavid trotted in there like he knew exactly what Allen was going to do, held him like a puppet. Then they score again, and we go from leading 2-0 to losing the game. I'm at the point where I'm so frustrated with this team on the ice that I don't know what to say. I mean, it is the most mind-baffling thing that I have seen in hockey in a long time. I can't comprehend it. That's 2 out of 9 for us. We are fighting for that last place spot. Do you realize we're like, 17 points or something behind the Predators now? It's absolutely insane. I do not know what it's going to take. I really don't. Bob McKenzie was saying tonight on TV that on making some solid points on why he doesn't think the Blues are going to be trading anyone. Some of these rumors about Parayko have kind of stepped up again. But he thinks the Blues are going to wait and let Berube see a full lineup. And I got to be honest with you, man, what difference does it make at this point? But you know, let's end on a fun note. Last week went down to the Anheuser-Busch Brewery Lights, and got to see some of the alumni play. Man, it was fun. It was so nice to be able to watch guys wearing the note, having fun. It was late at night. The later it became, the more competitive they were. It was so much fun just watching. But one of the things I noticed here, one of the co-hosts, Jamie, man, he was still playing like a gnat. I mean, just trash talking and chirping, and it was just a lot of fun watching Jamie out there in his element. But hey, I got to give props to my boy Cam. Cam Jansen's showing some tremendous skills when he's out there playing the old farts. But he was some great entertainment. And just so you all know, we did have a clear set bet. Cam was going to win some amazing Urban Chestnut beer and a Mentor Arena t-shirt if he would drop the gloves with Jamie. And he attempted many times, and Jamie, you disappointed me. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't drop the gloves with Cam. But I think Cam self-proclaimed. He said he scored 15 goals. So Cam Jansen did earn a Mentor Arena t-shirt the other night. And a lot of fun if you get a chance to go see those guys. So, guys, I'm always going to bleed blue, as frustrated as I get. And I wish I had more to say. And I just don't know what else there is. But, hey, make yourself happy. Make me happy. Make Steve, happy. You know what? Go get you some Adam's Smokehouse. Stop what you're doing. Go down and get Adam's Smokehouse. Have it for lunch. Have it for dinner. Let them cater. Get to go. Just go try Adam's Smokehouse. And until next week, this is Dennis live from Mentor Arena. Let's go Blues.
Good stuff as always, my man Dennis, live from Mentor Arena, of course, brought to you by Adam's Smokehouse. And again, one more time, Watson Road. Tell Mike we said hello. Guys, best barbecue in St. Louis. I'm sorry. I know there's good barbecue. I love the other places. But, man, it is so good. So that's Adam's Smokehouse. Don't forget our friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. All four businesses under one umbrella now to take care of you. Construction, heating, cooling. The electric team, they have the plumbing team up and running now. So residential, commercial, industrial, our man Randy Green's got you covered. One of the most important things we can tell you, and we mention it often, is not only 35 years experience in second generation craftsman, but just a great guy. And if he shakes your hand and looks you in the eye, it's going to get done. That's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Please don't forget one of the names that we always associate with amateur hockey here in St. Louis, but we also associate it with just being great people and great friends, and that's the Nelson family with NelsonLandServices.com. You guys are going to want to check them out on the website there. You're going to see some of their handiwork. It's a 5-star, locally rated company with affordable prices, and again, they do tremendous work. We appreciate everything they do. They do it just to support the amateur hockey community here in St. Louis. That's NelsonLandServices.com. We can't thank them enough. And, of course, don't forget SynergyHockeySkills.com. I know Jamie's already stepped away from the mic, but the camps are going, stocking stuffers. I know he's up and rolling. He's got it going on. And that was what I was alluding to earlier. I mean, this guy is busy. He's on the ice. Look at some of the pictures that they'll post on their site and social media. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. I've never seen Jamie run a camp, and when it's over, there's 100 kids, and they all get in one picture, and here's Jamie and all these former players, and they get in there, and everybody's smiling. You can just tell they had the best time. SynergyHockeySkills.com. Our man, Jamie Rivers. Nobody does it better. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.